Welcome to the first episode of the 2024 Dyslexia Canada Educational Excellence Awards podcast series. This year, Dyslexia Canada has taken the time to reflect on the remarkable journey the organization has taken since it was first created by Keith Gray in 2017. Back then, the educational landscape was different. There wasn't a single child in Canada who had access to universal early screening or evidence-based, systematic, explicit foundational reading instruction. Dyslexia Canada has made it its mission to ensure that every child with dyslexia in our country gets the support they need. Many educators from coast to coast have also been working towards that same goal, and their efforts have seen some success. Now more than 50% of Canadian children are living in provinces committed to the implementation of universal early screening and evidence-based, systematic, explicit foundational reading instruction. In this first episode, I'm delighted to be joined by Alicia Smith, Executive Director of Dyslexia Canada. Welcome, Alicia. And to start things off, why did Dyslexia Canada decide to establish these awards to recognize individuals who have been driving positive changes from coast to coast in recent years?
We decided to establish these awards because I think it's a really exciting time right now in terms of movement and progress across Canada. But from the perspective of a parent or a teacher who's been advocating for change, sometimes it can feel really discouraging. So by sharing the progress that's happening, we really hope that we're going to inspire and motivate people to continue doing the work that they're doing to improve outcomes for kids with dyslexia.
So what factors were important to the board when they were selecting the winners for this year?
So we looked at a number of things. Dyslexia Canada's mission really has several key strategic planks to it. The first is aligning reading instruction with evidence-based practices, or structured literacy is what that's called. Early universal screening, making sure that all students who need support are receiving intervention. And then there's also a real importance and emphasis on teacher training and making sure that teachers are getting the knowledge and support that they need so that they can help our students. So what we were looking at is we were looking at individuals and groups and organizations like school boards who have really done some exceptional work in advancing one or all of those pillars. The other factor that we were looking for is we were trying to make sure that we were looking broadly across Canada, because there really are exceptional efforts happening nationally, and we wanted to share that with everyone.
As you started taking a look at the nominations, did anything stand out or surprise you?
I think the volume of nominations really surprised us. This was the very first year that we have ever done anything like this, and it can be difficult sometimes to get the word out and to make sure that, you know, everybody is seeing this and nominating people. But we were overwhelmed with the number of nominations, and it was really difficult to narrow it down to those that we've chosen. But I'm really happy with the winners. All of them, I think, are exceptional, and it was really exciting to see how much good work is happening right across Canada.
It's true. The people that I've been speaking to about this are so passionate about it. It's really amazing to see.
It has been. It's a really interesting and inspiring time.
We mentioned earlier that just over half of children now have access to screening and evidence-based reading instruction. And while this is progress, there's still certainly a lot more work ahead. Can you tell us a little bit about the challenges that still remain?
Absolutely. So about half of children in Canada now live in provinces that have committed to implementing those core pillars of Dyslexia Canada's mission, being evidence-based early reading instruction, screening, and a focus on preventative intervention. And while we have policy commitments in several provinces, the implementation is still an ongoing project. So an education system is a very large, complex system, and it certainly doesn't turn in a day, right? So we have those policy commitments. That's wonderful. And teacher training is happening. Resources are being purchased, but there's still a lot of work to do to make sure that all of the teachers in those provinces actually have the training, support, and resources that they need to fully implement those policies. And then in the other, you know, for the other 50% of children, there's still a lot of work to do to just convince policymakers of the need to make these changes and commitments.
So what do you think is holding up that process?
I think there there's a number of factors that are holding up that process. I don't think it's that people are not aware of the fact that children are struggling or that people don't value literacy or want children to learn. I think everybody understands how important literacy is to children's mental health and to their success, both academically and socially. But this has been a problem for a very long time. For 2 decades at least, we've had over a third of children nationally who are leaving high school without having reached the level of literacy that StatsCan thinks is necessary to fully participate in the economy or to succeed in post-secondary. And there have been a lot of initiatives in the past to try and turn that around, and most of them have been unsuccessful. So I think that there is a little bit of initiative fatigue, perhaps. There's also a little bit of a sense of helplessness, like not understanding that there are different ways that we could go about this that would lead to a different result. So I think there's, you know, a lack of understanding about the research that is available that shows us quite clearly what we can do to change those outcomes. And then there's just also the entrenched practices, you know, the sense of, well, we've always done it this way. You know, so it can be very difficult to turn around a system. As I said, education systems are very large, very complex. There's a lot of different moving pieces. So getting everybody on the same page, helping them to connect with the body of evidence and research that has shown to be effective at changing those outcomes, and then making people feel that they actually do have the power to make that change is another barrier. Because I think a lot of people individually have been trying to make change. And because it is so complex and because there are so many moving pieces, it's been very difficult for them to do that. So often I find that people try for a period of time alone and then will disengage. So that's what I think is so exciting right now, is that people are really coming together to all pull for the same changes. And that's what seems to be making the progress.
For sure. About a year ago, there was a significant development in Ontario with the introduction of a new language curriculum, which is now being implemented in schools. How's that rollout been going?
The new language curriculum in Ontario is a really positive step forward, for sure. I'd say that the rollout across the province is really quite mixed. So, as I said, it is a big change from the way that we were teaching reading previously. And in the school boards that started really coming together as a group to learn about the evidence base around reading instruction, to support teachers with additional training, to purchase and invest in new resources, there are a number of school boards in Ontario that started to do that in 2019 when the Ontario Human Rights Commission first launched the Right to Read public inquiry. So in those school boards, they've had several years to come together as a community and bring the teachers along. So in those boards, the new curriculum is very well received. Teachers are happy. They're implementing it. You know, there's certainly challenges in terms of release time, and there's, you know, class sizes and composition, and, you know, there's never enough time for training. But in those boards, I'd say in the boards that have been looking at this for a few years, things are going well. Other school boards did not make that decision in 2019 to start investigating these issues. And so it's come as a little bit of a shock in those school boards. For those teachers, this change has been really overwhelming. They don't feel like they're supported, and they haven't had access to the resources that they need to really implement it effectively. So there is certainly some frustration. But over the course of this year, as people are starting to get used to it and some training has started to happen, I'd say broadly speaking, it's going very well.
You're trying to help teachers and other educators by providing them with some tools, and one of those, in collaboration with IDEA Ontario, is OnLit. Now, that's a platform designed to equip educators with the tools they need to implement the new language curriculum. Can you tell us more about OnLit?
Yes. So OnLit is a website that we started, as you said, in conjunction with IDEA Ontario. It's funded by the Ontario Ministry of Education, and we worked very closely with the curriculum team at the ministry to make sure that the resources are aligned with the new curriculum. And through the website, we're offering resources, online training modules, and we're also running quite a few different professional development communities for teachers that have been running all year. We've been doing book studies, online workshops, and creating canned professional development material that the school board teams can use themselves to train their educators for that in-service teacher training. So that has been really exciting. We have 10,000 registered users for the website already. We've been running dozens and dozens, I don't even know how many online virtual sessions. And it's been a really fun, really supportive community with a fantastic team that we get to work with. So it's been great.
Is there any reason you couldn't roll out something like this right across Canada?
We certainly could. The resources that we've developed are specifically organized to align with the Ontario curriculum, but they could work for any educator across Canada can access them. It is open access. You don't need to have an Ontario login or anything like that to join. So people can use those resources, and we could very easily adapt them to the curriculum of other provinces once the other provinces update their curriculum to align with structured literacy.
Alberta has been setting the pace nationally, embracing evidence-based reading instruction and early screening, and New Brunswick is another province that has updated its curriculum. What are the next steps for those provinces?
Yeah, so Alberta actually was the first to release a curriculum that was really evidence-based and focused on foundational skills instruction. And they've been rolling that out now for, I think they're in their third year. So in terms of early literacy support in Alberta, they do have that curriculum. There has been some teacher training and resource purchased. But I do hear from teachers that they would like additional training and more ongoing support with that rollout for the early years, for kindergarten to grade two. Another issue in Alberta that Alberta is still facing, Ontario is still facing this issue as well, really, is making sure that we're providing enough support for the older students who didn't get that preventative instruction when they were in kindergarten to grade three. So there is, you know, an entire generation of kids who didn't get to benefit from the new curriculum. Those kids are in grades, you know, 4 to 12 right now, and many of them are struggling with literacy. And providing them with effective and appropriate intervention is a really big undertaking that Alberta still has a lot of work to do on that front. For New Brunswick, they released their new curriculum at the same time that Ontario did, I believe. And they have done some limited teacher training. But again, teachers in New Brunswick are telling us that they would really like to have more training, more support, and more resources for delivering that curriculum. And similarly to Alberta and Ontario, that piece of making sure that they are providing appropriate support to the older students with dyslexia is still an ongoing concern.
It certainly sounds like they're seeing the value. Do you think that other provinces will recognize that once they see the successes that are happening?
Yes, I think it's already starting for sure. We've had commitment from the province of Nova Scotia to look at the, or they have already looked at the Right to Read report from Ontario and the new curriculum, and they're working on updating their curriculum as well. And I'm hoping that many other provinces will follow suit.
Recently, I had the chance to chat with Dr. Linda Siegel, the recipient of the Lifetime Achievement Award, who's been advocating for early screening and evidence-based reading instruction for over 40 years. Now, she did studies decades ago that demonstrated the positive effects of these approaches, and it seems the BC government is now finally paying attention. How do you envision the situation evolving in that province?
Yeah, it's really interesting. She definitely has managed to get the ear of the government there. The Premier of British Columbia actually included in his mandate letter for the Minister of Education some specific bullet points about making sure that there was better support for students with dyslexia in the province. That is the first time I've ever seen that in a provincial mandate letter, so that was very exciting. They did announce in their most recent budget that they were allocating $30 million to put towards early screening and some teacher training. The details of that announcement and what that's going to look like and what that training will be are still unknown at this time. So I'm very hopeful that they will listen to educators, listen to Linda, and make sure that those programs, that training and that screening is rolled out and is successful across British Columbia.
Speaking with Linda and some of the other winners, it seems that what you're presenting as a learning platform is not just for kids with dyslexia. You could really use it for any child.
Yes, absolutely. And Linda's work, really, a lot of our platform is building on Linda's work. You know, she in, I think it was early 2000s, late 90s in North Vancouver, implemented the pillars that I talked about, evidence-based early literacy instruction in foundational skills, screening, and then early intervention for children starting in kindergarten. And she was able to reduce the rate of reading failure for all kids to less than 5%. showing that, you know, that combination, those three things put in place in the early years can really prevent reading difficulties for all kids. And I think it's also really important to consider and to note the equity issues that are involved. So children with dyslexia are the ones that Dyslexia Canada talks about, you know, and advocates for. But there's lots of children struggle with reading for other reasons. And the structured literacy approach, that early screening and early intervention, can catch all of those children as well and make sure that they're provided with that support. And when you currently look at literacy outcomes in Canada, there are massive equity gaps if you're looking at the difference between outcomes for higher and lower income families, massive equity gaps for Indigenous students, big equity gaps for Black students. And these things are not about the ability of children to succeed, it's about access to education. So when affluent families are unable to get the support that they need for their child to learn to read in school because the school is using an approach that's not effective, those families often have the ability to pay for private tutors to fill in the gaps for that ineffective instruction. Whereas we know that many other children don't have access to that, whether it's for financial reasons or whether it's because of geography. You know, you see, if you look at the reading results for Ontario, for example, that geographically, rural and northern communities have much lower reading results. And I can tell you, I live in a rural community about 2 hours north of Toronto. And when my own child was struggling with reading, I did look for a tutor, but there actually weren't any available at all. The closest tutor for me would have been an hour drive away. So you can see there are a lot of barriers that are preventing children from getting access to the instruction that they need to succeed. And we know that if we embed that instruction in the public education system, every child will have access to it. So yes, it's about children with dyslexia for sure, but it's really about making sure that every child in Canada has access to the instruction that they need so that they can succeed with literacy.
Linda says it should be a human right. What do you think of that idea?
Absolutely. And it is in Canada. Every child has the right to education. That's in the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. You know, we're a signatory to the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of the Child that also talks about the right to education and the right to special education for children with disabilities, like children with dyslexia. And the Supreme Court of Canada confirmed that right and confirmed that access to effective reading instruction is a part of that right in the Moore decision. That was the case of Moore versus the province of British Columbia in 2012. And so we've really been building on that legal precedent for the last, since 2012, really, long before I got involved with this. I don't want to make it sound like this was me or my idea, but Dyslexia Canada has been working since 2017 to bring these issues forward through human rights systems throughout Canada. So there was the public inquiry in Ontario. There was a special initiative in Saskatchewan that just concluded in September. And Manitoba is currently conducting an inquiry as well.
What is going to be Dyslexia Canada's focus this year?
Early screening is really our focus at this time. We're at the point where just over half of children live in provinces that have committed to implementing universal screening, and we'd like to get that number up to 100%.
That sounds like a lofty goal. How long do you think it's going to take to manage that?
Well, I think it depends. I mapped it out the other day. I put all the provinces and all the kids into Excel and made a plan. When do we think we can get them all over the finish line? From the point where you can get a province to commit to screening to the point where it's actually implemented for all of the kids and the teachers are trained and it's actually happening, takes at least 2 years. And in some provinces, I feel like we are close to convincing policymakers to make that decision and make that a spending priority. Whereas there are definitely a few other provinces where we're pretty far from getting that commitment. So between the advocacy work of getting to the commitment and then the implementation phase that's you know, at least 2 to 3 years long, I think realistically it will take us between 5 and 10 years to get there. And I think that really just depends on how much support we have with the advocacy part.
That must be disappointing when you see the value of getting kids early on.
Yes, absolutely. And when I mapped it out in Excel, I put in the number of kids in each province that are starting kindergarten each year and created a couple of different models, you know, in terms of if we can get this done in 5 years, how many kids will we catch? If this takes 10 years, how many children are going to slip through the cracks, right? And so I really do feel that sense of urgency in trying to get as many people together to advocate for this as quickly as we possibly can, because time is ticking for these kids. If they don't get the help and the instruction that they need in kindergarten, and grade one, it just becomes more difficult. 70% of the kids who reach grade three who are not reading well go on to have lifelong low literacy. That's just the way it is. You know, it's never too late to provide someone with intervention, but the older a person is, the longer it takes for them to fill in those literacy gaps. So I do hope that we can get there in 5 years, but that will require a lot of help from a lot of people. And so if anybody listening wants to help with that, just definitely give me a call.
Why does reading appear to be so low on the priority scale when in the developing world it is clearly a necessity to be able to read?
Yeah, it's something I've struggled with, to be honest. Why are people not up in arms about this? You know, certainly as a parent of a child who struggled with learning to read, learning about the evidence base and all of the things that we are not doing that we could be doing certainly keeps me up at night and keeps me motivated and, you know, obviously brought me to Dyslexia Canada, where advocating for these changes is now my job. You know, it's my whole life. So I sometimes struggle to understand why other people don't see this sense of urgency and don't see this as the, you know, national catastrophe that I really think it is, you know, because it's a huge waste of human potential. The ongoing issues for people in terms of mental health, in terms of access to economic opportunities, all of those things. And I think part of the reason is because we've been sort of lulled into this false sense of success. You know, so we like to often in Canada point to things like our scores on PISA, which is the International Assessment of 15-year-olds. And when you take the average score for Canada and you compare it to other countries, we do reasonably well. But I'd argue that most countries are not doing a very good job of this. You know, so being the best of a group of people that are, or a group of countries that are not doing very well is nothing really to brag about. The other piece is that I think that the data that's been presented to Canadians in many cases has been really skewed and has really underestimated the size of the problem. So with that PISA data, it's not generally reported that Canada has one of the lowest participation rates in PISA of all of the other countries. And StatsCan did recently a non-participation analysis and found that, you know, those results that we're putting forward on PISA are likely biased. There's selection bias happening, and that the stronger students are participating, whereas the weaker students are sitting it out. That's one thing. Another thing that's happened over the last 20 years is that in many of those standardized tests that happen in Ontario, there's the EQAO test. There's also the Pan-Canadian Assessment. There's been a move towards allowing students to complete those assessments using assistive technology. So it says it's a reading assessment, and we report to Canadians that, you know, scores have increased over the last 15 years. But we did a research project when I was volunteering with IDA Ontario. And we looked and we found that the percentage of children who completed that reading assessment in Ontario by listening and speaking their answers, so without reading or writing a single word, was 18%. And that percentage of kids that were completing it that way had grown enormously. And if you removed that, there'd been absolutely no growth in literacy scores in Ontario for 20 years, you know. So as a parent, when my child was entering the education system in Ontario, I'd been constantly hearing good news in the media about the, you know, reading scores are up, we're the best at PISA, everything is going to be okay. So I think there was this false sense of security that was going on. So I hope that we've been able to combat that a little bit and to sort of shed some light on what's really going on with kids in Canada.
What do you think the landscape will look like a year from now?
Well, I feel like we have really good momentum right now, and educators really are rallying behind this. They're the ones ultimately who are going to turn this around, right? And so that's really encouraging. I hope that in a year from now, we will have managed to secure some, you know, detailed screening announcements in at least two more provinces. I've got my eyes on BC and Nova Scotia for that. I hope that the report that came out in Saskatchewan from their Human Rights Commission will start to gain some traction. It's been very difficult for them to get the attention that they need for that report. And I also think that in Manitoba, their report is expected to come out this year. And there's a really good grassroots movement of educators and psychologists and other professionals in Manitoba, along with parents, who are working to move that forward. So I'm hopeful that that will land well and that we'll be seeing some commitments to change there too.
Despite the fact that there is clearly a long way to go, it does sound like there are some positive advancements being made. So I guess we can be happy with that for now.
Yes, there is a long way to go. There is a lot of work to do, but I do feel like right now we've made some really significant progress nationally and we've got some really good momentum behind us.
Are there plans to make the awards an annual event?
Yes, absolutely. This was intended to be the first year, and I hope that we will stay in touch with these winners and continue to follow their progress because all of them are continuing their work. It's a work in progress, definitely. So I hope we will have the opportunity to continue to share their work and celebrate their progress. And I'm excited to read about next year's crop of nominees.
Alicia, thanks so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
We invite you to tune in to the upcoming episodes of our series featuring the recipients of the 2024 Dyslexia Canada Educational Excellence Awards. Those winners include educators and administrators who have tirelessly championed early screening and evidence-based systematic explicit foundational reading instruction in their schools, boards, regions, provinces, or nationally. And we hope that their dedication and achievements will serve as inspiration to you.